Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20 volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
That is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome to the Saturday night edition of Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, as always, Mr. Tim Dennis sitting across the board. Good evening, Tim. How are you?
Good evening, sir. Doing good.
Well, dude, it's my birthday. I'm 41.
Yeah, you are.
Can you believe it?
Yeah, I already looked into getting you your AARP card and looking into some senior homes for you, so I think it'll be good.
You are a heartbreaking man. You know that? You are mean and cold and ruthless. Hey, I've got something cool going on, folks. Usually we have Nicole come on, and she does two movie reviews, or does a movie review for us, I should say. Tonight, we're going to do it a little different. Nicole could not be here. I have two movie reviews. Count them, two, Tim.
Two.
For my birthday, I'm reviewing two movies.
Wow. Your birthday?
First movie, for my first movie I want to talk about is My Name is Bruce, which is a fantastic new movie. You guys are going to love this. If you're Bruce Campbell fans, and anybody that's seen The Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness, Congo, God, I'm just trying to think of some of the other Bruce Campbell stuff. He's been in the Xena TV show. He was Autolycus, the Prince of Thieves. He was also in Jack of All Trades, which was a great TV series as well, run by Sam Raimi.
Can be seen in brand new episodes of Burn Notice coming up in January.
That's right,
in USA.
Burn Notice. Yep. He's been in all the Spider-Man movies. Good friends with Sam Raimi. Bruce has a new movie. You know, he's known for being kind of the zombie-killing monster guy in all the movies, and this is a really cute premise. Bruce Campbell is off on location filming, and this town accidentally unleashes an evil that comes out, and they don't know what to do, but they hear Bruce Campbell is a couple, you know, cities over, so they decide to go kidnap Bruce Campbell and bring him over to fight the bad guys. And let's just say Bruce is in his full machismo in this movie. It's hilarious and funny as hell, and there's a lot more deaths that start to occur when Bruce Campbell shows up than there was before he was involved. It's a great movie, and they're doing a special deal here in Minneapolis, as a matter of fact, and I've got Danielle on the line with us, and we're going to get some information on this. Danielle, people can actually come out and see Bruce Campbell, and he's going to be premiering his movie here in Minneapolis the first weekend in December. Is that correct?
Yep, that's correct. We're really excited. We're lucky enough to be one of the stops on his tour, and he's coming in the first weekend of December, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and people are going to get a chance to see him, meet him, quiz him. We're going to do Q&A sessions after both the screenings, all three of those nights, so we're just really excited for the chance to have him in town.
Now, where is the movie going to be shown?
It's going to be at the Landmark Lagoon Cinema, which is right in Uptown, and he'll be there all three nights.
All three nights. And do you have the times for those movies by any chance?
Yep, he'll be doing the 7 and the 9:40 shows on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And they are going to do Q&As, you said, correct? So after the movie, or is it before the movie?
He'll be doing Q&As after both showings, both the 7 and 9:40.
Awesome. So you get a chance to come out, see the brand new Bruce Campbell movie called My Name is Bruce, which is a horror comedy, if you will. It's hilarious. They sent me out a pre-screener of this movie. I really enjoyed it. I also forgot he was in Bubba Hotep, Tim. We totally forgot about that. Another great one of the comedy horror movies that he's been a part of.
Mm-hmm.
But if you like that vein of dark humor and silliness, you're going to love this movie. And again, people, now, where can they get tickets for these, Danielle?
Yeah, you can go to landmarktheaters.com and buy them online, or you can just stop at the box office at the Lagoon anytime they're open and buy them then.
Now, I'd recommend, guys, go out and buy them in advance because it's going to fill up. Bruce Campbell's one of the most popular actors out there in the horror genre, and especially for his kitsch niche market that he's in. People love him. Every time I've gone to one of his book signings, it's absolutely packed. So if you want to see him, you want to go see the movie and be one of the first ones to see it and do a Q&A with Bruce, go check it out. And again, it's Lagoon Landmark Cinemas, did you say?
Landmark Lagoon Cinema, yep.
There we go. Landmark Lagoon Cinemas. And that'll be at 7 p.m. and 9:40 showings. And again, the dates on those?
Yep, they're December 5th, 6th, and 7th. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
December 5th through the 7th. Great. Well, Danielle, thanks a lot for joining us here this evening. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And that's right, guys. So if you want to go out there, I highly recommend checking out this movie. Like I said, I had a blast watching it. It's just a lot of fun, and it's a kooky movie with a lot of really good humor involved in it and some, actually, a couple little spooky moments, too. Second movie, Tim, we went out, Tuesday night?
Yep.
And we had the chance to go see Twilight.
Yep.
So it was kind of a date movie for you and I. We never get to go out, just the two of us. And
didn't hold my hand or nothing.
Well, you know, there were people watching. We had Diana Pierce right behind us.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. She's a tasty morsel in person, isn't she?
Yeah, she is.
Wow, definitely. Yeah. So we had Diana Pierce was there, but we had a great time at the movie. And, you know, here's my thought on it. Now, I never read the book series, neither did you.
Right.
And we're friends with Rihanna Wilson, Grant Wilson's wife from the Ghost Hunters.
Right.
And she was so excited about this movie. She's like, Dave, you got to call me and let me know how it was afterwards. I said, all right, well, understand, I have no bearing with the book series on this, so I may love the movie, you may go see it and hate it because you read the books and it's nothing like the books. I don't know how that all works. But I was surprised. I expected this to be some kitschy, crappy kid, teenage movie. And I really liked the whole premise of this book, Twilight, is that the authors really turned the vampire genre on its ear.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, in their home, the vampires have a crucifix hanging there. They're, you know, garlic doesn't affect them. They don't blast and explode in sunlight. I won't give away all the secrets, but there's some really cool stuff. They've done a lot of fun stuff. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite scenes is the baseball scene, with the vampires playing baseball. It's just a cute, kitschy little bit. You summed it up best, I think, when we were talking right after the movie. And you said, you know, it's like it looked like it should have been on the WB.
Yeah, it has a very WB feel to it.
Well, it's got that very young, everybody's really good-looking vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that again, I was seeing the schmaltziness of that, and I thought, oh, crap. But I enjoyed the movie. I thought the story was well told. I liked the acting. I thought the characters were good. The main character, the main vampire, he kind of James Dean looking, but he's still a little too, I don't know. I think if I saw a kid walking around looking like him in high school, I would think he was mildly retarded and not cool.
You know, I have an interesting take on him, and that is that I think he played his role perfectly in that as a vampire and having lived since,
1918 is what
exactly.
Turned, right?
That he's a man out of time, so he should react oddly to things. He shouldn't be comfortable in this time.
Well, you think he'd have enough time to adjust. He's been around for over 100 years.
Right, but in the movie, they cite that he's listening to classical music. Debussy, I believe, is what it was.
Right.
So, you know, the fact of the matter is he's still stuck in his own time. He's reminiscent or romanticizing about his own time.
I don't see. You know what I mean? They always try to make the vampires like the cool brooding kid.
Mm-hmm.
And they try that on this, but I just think there's sometimes when he just has this kind of look in his face, you know, he's just slightly one gene off, you know.
Right.
But I thought it was pretty well done, and they probably could have done with a little less eyeliner.
Yeah.
But other than that,
makeup's apparent.
The people in there, Alice, I loved Alice, the character of Alice. She was, Tim and I were discussing it during the movie. If you are a Batman fan, we think she should be Harley Quinn in the next Batman movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She was fantastic.
Yep.
But it was a really good movie, guys. I would give it, you know, we usually rate them with the light bulbs. How many light bulbs would you leave on after seeing this movie out of fear? No fear factor. It was just a really good, well-done story.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't leave any lights on out of fear, but I'd give it 4 out of 5 stars for entertainment and just enjoying the movie overall. Maybe that's because I went in with absolutely no expectations for this movie and it, you know, made an impact on me. How about you, Tim?
It didn't have as much of an impact on me as I think as it had on you. And I'll tell you, you know, I probably go 3 out of 5 and this is why.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike the Harry Potter movies, which are built for kids, but can be enjoyed by everybody. Mm-hmm. I felt like they kind of pigeonholed their audience. They know who their audience is.
Right.
And they catered to them. And they did a very good job catering to them.
Oh, no doubt, yeah.
And if I were 20 to 25, I probably would really be into this movie. If I were even anywhere from 15 to 25, I'd be into this movie.
Actually, I think like 9 years old and up would enjoy this movie, especially the young girls. We saw how well they reacted to
that. Yeah, they did. They loved it.
And the girls. So if you read the book series, if this helps you any, as we were listening to the, you know, jibber jabber on the way out of the theater, the girls were like, oh my God, I so much love the way they did that with that character. And they kept it just the way it was supposed to be. And they were pretty much nailing it with everybody's personality, it seems, from the book version.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it was a very good story. Don't get me wrong. And it's a great romantic movie. If you want to take your girl to it, mm-hmm. you'll have a great time. You'll probably.
I was actually a little surprised by some of the special effects I thought were a little cheesy.
Really?
Yeah. Like the scaling of walls and trees and stuff. It just looked a little too 1980s fake to me. But, you know, I guess, but I've never actually seen a man with a woman on his back climb a tree. Maybe that's the way it would look, you know?
See?
Vampires. I'll have to get more footage of actual vampires climbing trees to see if it's real.
Do your scientific research.
Yes, yeah. I am scientifical that way. But yeah, I thought it was overall a good movie. So guys, don't be afraid to take your girls to see it. First of all, you'll enjoy it because it's just a fun movie and there's some pretty girls to look at in the movie. So you'll be okay with that. And then, you'll also score just because your girl loves the movie as well, and it was worth it. I'm actually looking forward to the next one, and I think I'm going to pick up the books to read them.
See, I will tell you this. Mm-hmm. As someone who was totally impartial going in, not reading the book, having seen the movie, the next one I might be a little intrigued by, but I'll tell you, if this were a TV show, if this were a pilot on the WB, mm-hmm. I wouldn't watch another episode.
You wouldn't?
No, because I feel kind of, again, I'm a little older, and maybe my tastes are a little older, and I'm expecting a more fleshed out deal. For the tweener set, this is a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I wouldn't watch another episode. It doesn't intrigue me.
Shameful. But you're not a big vampire fan either, are you?
That's not true. That's not true, yeah. It's just that this was very high school drama, and shows mm-hmm. like 90210 have always turned me off, and I've never been a big fan of the tweener set television shows or movies or anything like that. So
yeah, this was Dawson's Creek meets Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah.
I would say that's safe to say, right?
Yep.
So you had that whole vibe going for it. But again, I named one of my kids after a Dawson's Creek character, so you already know my mindset. I'm a little bit more willing to deal with that. But go see it, check it out, enjoy it. Also, go see our good friend Bruce Campbell on December 5th through the 7th at the Lagoon, the Landmark Lagoon Cinema. He's going to be out with his brand new movie, My Name is Bruce, and he'll actually be here in Minneapolis at the movie screenings. He'll be doing a Q&A right after at the 7 p.m. and 9:40 p.m. showings of his movie. Check it out. It's well worth it. On the My Name is Bruce movie, I would easily give that 4 out of 5 as well, just for overall entertainment value. I thought it was just a lot of fun, really a good movie. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We'll have Adrian Lee all the way from London, England, waking him up again in the middle of the night to hear the best of the weirdest stories from around the world. We'll be back with more. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Tim Dennis. Tim, it's time to go across the pond.
With all the weird news from around the world, it's time for the Supernatural Stories of the Strange, International Edition. Live from London, international news correspondent Adrian Lee.
Let freedom ring, man. Hey, good evening, Adrian. Welcome.
Hi, Dave. Hello, America. You can hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you great.
Fantastic. Modern technology for it.
Well,
can I start by extending birthday wishes to you from the dark, grey, cold island that is Great Britain? Are you feeling any older?
I am. 41. It's hit me hard today. I didn't expect it to, Adrian, but it is. I feel 42.
Really?
Is that wrong?
what sort of things? Are we talking a physical change or?
Oh, physically, mentally. You know, it's just today was like, wow, I'm 41. Holy crap.
Just to cheer you up, I've given Tim $10, so he's going to do a strip for you a bit later, if that's okay.
That's supposed to cheer me up?
Yeah,
he's
bought carpet powder and everything.
Nothing takes your mind off of being 41 like an oiled-up hairy guy.
Yeah, well, I think we just started with our first paranormal story right there. Where are we off to this evening? Where are we off to this evening, Mr. Lee?
Okay, we start, as always, with the bizarre and weird from around the world. Far be it from me as a laid-back, easy-going European to fly in the face of convention, so let's crack on. A woman obsessed with cosmetic surgery for the past 20 years is now grotesquely disfigured in part from injecting cooking oil into her face. Hang Miao Ku was 28 when she first had plastic surgery to her face. She moved to Japan so she could have more operations, leaving her own country of Korea. Following operation after operation, her face was eventually left enlarged and disfigured, but she would still look at herself in the mirror and think she was beautiful. Eventually, the surgeon she visited refused to carry out any more work on her and once suggested that her obsession could be a sign of a psychological disorder.
You think?
When she returned home to Korea, the surgery meant that Hang's features had changed so much that her own parents didn't actually recognize her. And after realizing that the girl with the grotesquely swollen face was indeed their daughter, her horrified parents actually took her to a doctor. And once again, the possibility that Hang had a mental disorder was raised. And then she started treatment. And there is actually a picture of this poor unfortunate woman. Her head actually looks like a semi-deflated soccer ball, unfortunately. However, the treatment was too expensive for her to keep up, and she soon fell back into old ways. But amazingly, the doctor that was actually willing to give her silicone injections, and he gave her her own syringe and her own silicone, so she could actually do it on her own, unfortunately. And then when the supply of silicone actually ran out, she actually resorted to injecting cooking oil into her own face. I mean, there are cases around the world of people that are actually addicted to plastic surgery and cosmetic procedures. You know, there's some women have had so many facelifts, they've actually got beards now, unfortunately. TV viewers donated money to Hang, now 48, so she could have her face reduced, but she's still actually disfigured, and now her face only looks like a fully deflated soccer ball. So hope for her there, but an unfortunate story to start with from Korea there.
So
but
she looked at herself, and she still saw herself as beautiful, even though she was pumping it full of vegetable oil.
Yes, I'm guessing she had oily skin by doing that. But and if Michael Jackson's after another wife, I'm sure she'll be a contender for that.
But no,
yeah, her face looks like a swollen pumpkin, unfortunately.
Oh, that's.
But it was amazing that in Japan, there's actually doctors that were prepared to give her needles and silicone and told her she could get on with it and do it on her own. So she did that until the silicone ran out, and then she went for the cooking oil, unfortunately.
That is. That's disturbing. Do you think that that's the same sickness, the same mental illness that has really overweight women putting themselves into, like, those Lycra bike pants?
That's hot, baby.
You know what I'm talking about, Tim? Those spandexy pants
yeah.
That, you know, I don't know. You'd think you have a friend that would go, ooh, maybe that's not the right look for you.
Daddy likes it when you...
I'm going to have to ask Tim to change his costume now because he bought that as well.
Yeah, I did.
He's got his tight Lycra.
Daddy likes it when you... Daddy likes it when you stuff the sausage into a really tiny tube.
Oh, God. Stop it.
I think I better move on.
Yes, if you don't, I will. Where are we off to next?
Keeping in the genre of all things medical, a healer in Ethiopia who claimed he could cure women's ailments by sucking their breasts has been arrested. The healer, who was based in Addis Ababa, prescribed the treatment as a cure for any ailment placed before him and persuaded three women to undergo a course of treatment. I mean, I was thinking this may be the way to go when we set up a store at next year's Healthy Living Expo. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know about that, Adrian. Again, that seems like we're dancing on the borderline of a little bit of sexual harassment. So that was really that's his opening line at the bar. I'm a doctor, and...
Well, apparently it worked. I mean, three women actually paid for this. According to a report in the Daily Monitor, a newspaper in Ethiopia, authorities said that the three women actually paid the man about $26. So, I mean, that works out at $13 a breast on that math. It's quite good value, to be honest.
Oh, my God. That just proves what P.T. Barnum used to say, is that there's a sucker born every day, huh? Or was it every minute?
Get away with it.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm thinking we could perhaps do a buy one, get one free off.
Oh, man. Where are we off to next, Adrian?
Okay, moving from the breast area to the whole body now. A couple have been arrested for allegedly having sex in a crowded train carriage in England. Other passengers en route from Liverpool to London appear to have sat in embarrassed silence as the 41-year-old woman allegedly committed a sex act on her male partner. This is typical of Britain, by the way. We'd sit in complete silence, try not to acknowledge the fact that the couple sat in your compartment were in the full throes of practicing the physical arts. But when they'd finished and they lighted a cigarette, everyone would then shout out and complain, no smoking, no smoking. So that's typically British. The pair were arrested by police on arrival at Euston Station. Officers are believed to have been called after a guard on the Virgin Intercity train spotted the couple on CCTV. By the way, that's a gift right there, isn't it? Virgin Intercity train. I don't even need to make jokes after this. Businessman Gregory Sim, 49, has been charged with unacceptable behaviour, while the unnamed woman from Essex has been bailed while the inquiry continues. The man has been charged with unacceptable behaviour on a train and is due to appear at the City of Westminster Magistrates Court. Quizzed by reporters last night, Mr. Sim confirmed his arrest but refused to give any more details.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
What's going on with the world here, Adrian?
Do you know what? I don't know whether it's the fact that my research, I'm getting better at the research, or just the fact that the world is getting stranger and more bizarre, but, you know, we started off quite tentatively with the odd drunken horse and, you know, the monkeys with lipstick and all kinds of weird and wonderful things. And we're going into some very dark places at the moment. I don't know whether it's the world that's changed or just that my research has got better.
Well, a little bit of both maybe, huh?
It's a possibility.
Where are we off to next, sir?
Okay, in a natural slippery progression, I feel, from sexual relations on a busy commuter train to the world of politics. Yeah, this week I saw the British politician, Lord Drayson, the science minister, claim he has a gift, like a sixth sense, that enables him to predict some of the events before they've happened, which is obviously quite a good gift to have if you're a politician.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, he said, in my life there's been some things I've known, and I don't know why. He said, I think there's a lot we don't understand about human capability. The multimillionaire businessman and Labour donor also admitted he believed in God and thought faith and science were compatible. And I'll make sure to mention that to Charles Darwin if I ever see him on a ghostly investigation. I think faith is a very strange thing, he said. You don't necessarily believe in something just because you have the evidence to prove it. Drayson was actually discussing Blink, which is a best-selling American book about the human instinct by Malcolm Gladwell. Have you come across that book at all?
No, I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah, apparently the book identifies cases of individuals with the apparent power to foretell events, an ability Drayson believes he may share. And I actually think I've got that as well, actually, because I knew if I went to the state fair with you and ate everything on offer that my guts would play up, and in actual fact that came true as well.
Well, then I guess that makes me psychic as well, Adrian, because every time I go to a bar, I know I'm not going home with any of those women.
This is based on the fact that it's your birthday again today, isn't it? This is old age creeping up,
it is.
Unfortunately.
Yes, it is, sadly.
He said it's a really fascinating book. It gives lots of examples of people who have demonstrated very clearly that they have known that they've got instinct in their lives. One particular fireman in America said he had amazing instinct that he knew when something bad was going to happen and then evacuated all of his crew from the building. And sure enough, you know, whenever he has this sense, the buildings then collapse or something bad happens there. So again, that's quite a useful ability to have if you're a fireman as well, I would suggest.
No doubt. Being a fireman or policeman, I would think that would be kind of the prime jobs if you have that ability. Boy, that would really come in helpful, huh?
I mean, it's interesting. This guy actually came to attention in 2002 when it emerged that the company that he worked for, or actually owned, had been awarded a large government contract to supply vaccines shortly after he had donated $50,000 to the Labour Party. So I wonder if you saw that one coming.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, although I must say, in the interest of parity and legal expenses that I can ill afford, a parliamentary inquiry did actually find no connection between the two there.
Well, that's good to hear. We have to take a break, Adrian. We'll come back with more of your stories and more news. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio with our international news correspondent of the weird, Adrian Lee. We'll be back with more. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show, Saturday night edition. We're here with you every Saturday and Sunday from 9 o'clock to midnight. Join us so that you can hear the weird news of the world. So we talk about ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot, the Bermuda Triangle, and beyond every week. If you have news stories that you'd like us to cover or you find, please let us know. Go to darknessradio.com, click on the news desk, and you can send international news stories to Adrian Lee right there. You can also contact Bree Sanders, our local national news representative, and forward on national news stories to her that we can cover on the show as well. And don't forget, for movie reviews and book reviews, you can click on our links at darknessradio.com. Recommend books and movies to lovely Susan and Nicole, and they will review those books on upcoming episodes. Right now, though, we're going to go back to international news correspondent all the way from London, England, Mr. Adrian Lee. All right, Adrian, where are we off to next, sir?
Well, we discussed politics before the break, so staying, if I may, in the musty-smelling corridors of history and power in the Houses of Parliament. A crack new X-Files squad of special FBI agents has been recruited by the UK government because the number of UFO sightings this year has been out of this world. Leading boffins in government office have admitted to being flummoxed, there's a good word for you, flummoxed, by a state of extraterrestrial activities and have turned to a top US agency to hire in Mulder and Scully-style investigators. The undercover unit will begin work in a high-tech London lab analysing unexplained photography, debris, and then before that moving into the field to obtain explanations of bizarre crop circles. I mean, it was interesting for me reading that article that, you know, this is the first time I've heard the word debris actually mentioned by anything that was released by the government over here. So obviously they're referring to perhaps crash sites or bits that have fallen off of UFOs. I'm sure there's a couple of aliens somewhere saying, I'm sure we had a wing mirror when we left Mars. My God, we're going to lose our deposit.
So they're actually, they're hiring in a squad to kind of become an X-Files type show? I mean,
what it's insinuating, of course, is that the Americans already have this up and running, so they're dipping into American resources to bring them over here and use their skills and their knowledge in that area. So that's quite interesting. I mean, there's actually been a huge upsurge in the interest of alien life forms since late last year, because the Ministry of Defence opened its own X-Files over here to the public for the first time since records began in 1967. And a lot of the stories I've given you over the last few months have actually involved those little snippets when they've come out on a sort of week-by-week basis. I mean, the unveiling is thrust to the forefront of the public agenda. Amazingly, it's been afforded more debating hours in the House of Lords than anything else this year. So everything that's gone through the House of Lords, all the bills and amendments and all the political discussions, haven't amounted to the amount of talking that's taken place over UFOs, which is rather strange.
Wow.
I mean, the number of UFO sightings have really taken off this year, and they've dwarfed the total of last year. The Ministry of Defence actually acknowledged 135 reporting sightings for 2007, and it's actually gone past that figure quite considerably, and we've still obviously got a couple of months to go there.
Well, that is weird. I mean, we've been having a crazy upswing here in the United States, too, just in Texas alone. It seems like every week they're coming up with more and more sightings in one specific, what is it, Stephenville, I think, Tim? Stephenville, Texas, isn't that where Bree's been mentioning that so many of the UFO? Yeah, I think that's where it's been. But yeah, it's been we've been having a crazy deal. You know, one of our guests tonight, we're going to talk to her about UFOs and her abduction scenario. I'll ask her if she knows. Maybe there's a reason that this is all taking place at this point in time. Maybe they're getting ready to make themselves known on a global scale. Her name is Ann Andrews. She'll be on with us in a little bit. We also have Norm Shealy, who's going to talk to us about the mysterious Committee of 300 tonight, Adrian, about the 300 power players that actually run the entire world.
Wow.
Interesting stuff. Huh? Where are we off to next with your stories?
Well, just to satisfy my autistic tendencies for list making, I will actually add to that ever-growing catalogue of sightings by actually reporting one from Britain this week. A 38-year-old businessman who wants to remain anonymous actually spotted a row of white hovering lights above his town on the night of the Newton Popplefell Carnival this week in England. And on the same night, 32-year-old Tom Ambrose of Sidmouth said he saw a series of multicoloured lights projected above Budley Salterton. Both men are convinced that what they saw had nothing to do with the carnival, as the lights were well away from the village celebrations. The Newton Popplefell businessman, who watched in amazement for 15 minutes as a line of 12 lights shone above Budley, said he has been told what he saw was a row of festival balloons, because this has come up before, isn't it, where UFO sightings have been mistaken, you know, for balloons that have been put up. But he's actually aware of these. He said, these weren't balloons made of tissue paper and with candles in them. He's aware of those, and he's seen those before, and he's actually discounted that himself. He said when he returned later to see if the lights were still visible, they'd actually disappeared. He said he was driving and literally slammed on the brakes. He said he was so amazed by the sight, but the lights were in a staggered uniform line, and they came down in a straight diagonal fashion and just hung there. He said they were quite far off, and they were quite stationary. He said if they were balloons, they'd have had more of an erratic movement, but they seemed to move in unison and in a formation. He said, I'm not a skeptic at all. He said, I'm fairly open-minded. But he did say that he was sane and he hadn't been drinking or taking drugs. But what he saw, he says, definitely wasn't UFO, it wasn't aircraft or balloons, and he's discounted that. And he says he's convinced they were UFOs. So quite an interesting story just this week alone from the West Country in Britain.
No doubt. I'd love to get to the bottom of this. I hope that we can get. And you know what, Adrian, again, if you want to put out the call to your countrymen there that are seeing all these UFOs, we'd love to have some of the people on and talk about their actual experiences. So maybe, I know you've been doing a collection of all the different UFO stories you've been getting from across Europe.
Right, yeah.
If they're quoting you names and you have any way to track these people down, we'd love to have them be on the show one night and maybe get to hear each one of their individual stories as we go along.
Yeah, we could actually dedicate a show, couldn't we, to my fellow countrymen, giving you tales and recounting stories of the UFO sightings they've experienced over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
That's certainly something we could look into there.
Yeah, please do. All right. Where are we off to next for news stories with you?
This is very strange. This is the first time I've been aware of sightings across the country this week of our very own Bigfoot. I mean, big, hairy, you know, large-footed creatures with low intellect looking confused and disorientated.
Are you talking about Keith Richards?
Well, I was thinking of tourists over here, to be honest.
Oh, sure.
You know, I take one trip overseas, and all of a sudden, it's just ridicule. And
Did you get lost? Did you have a map with you out of interest?
No, I just wandered.
Yeah, I kind of think that might be the reason, yeah.
And then I was getting really upset, and I was growling. I was doing that. That probably scared a few children.
Nice. Well, interestingly enough, more people have come forward claiming to have seen a Bigfoot-like creature in the Wanstead and Woodford area of East London. And this is the area I was actually born in. Those of you over there that are listening that are English would instantly tell I have an East End Cockney accent, so that's a bit of a giveaway. But last week, fitness instructor Michael Kent saw a peculiar-looking Bigfoot-like animal emerge from the trees near the Hollow Ponds area of Epping Forest on the border between Wanstead and Leytonstone. And now a pensioner, Irene Dainty of Love Lane in Woodford Bridge, claims she was left shaken after she came face-to-face with a hairy creature which surprised her in the street. Mrs. Dainty said she was absolutely convinced that what she saw was not human or a normal species of animal life. She said, "I just come out of my flat and I just turned around the corner and I saw this hairy thing come out of nowhere and I really don't want to see it again. It was about 4 foot tall with a really big feet and looked me straight in the eyes, and he had really big animal eyes apparently, and then leaped straight over a wall with no trouble at all and went straight off into the garden of a local pub. So I mean, perhaps he's gone to visit his friends there for a drink, perhaps. We know how much monkeys and chimps like drinking based on previous weeks that we've had those stories on." She said, "I was terrified and I went around to a neighbour's house and I told her what had happened and she couldn't believe it and asked me if I'd been drinking, but of course I said I hadn't. It was only 3 p.m. I mean, like 4 p.m. would have made a difference, you know. Park officials have poured scorn on the so-called witness claims and are adamant that there are no strange creatures roaming around Epping Forest. And that includes semi-clad Americans that are lost looking for the nearest station. But, you know, whilst researching that, if I can add to that story, I was interested. I discovered that there are actually stories of Bigfoot-like creatures in the Midlands as well that have actually been reported over a prolonged period of time. Cannock in the Midlands has got its very own Bigfoot, and there's been sightings of this since 1879, since documents began, and sightings of the creature keep flooding in on almost a weekly basis, and prominent cryptozoologist Nick Redfern declares that it's actually a paranormal, has paranormal origins, and he's someone we've had on the show before, haven't we, talking about such things?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, he was on our first show now, what was it, August 24th?
Yeah, that was one of the occasions I was over there with you in the studio, I remember that very well. I mean, dozens of eyewitness accounts of Bigfoot have been recorded in this area in recent years. Recently, a sighting was reported by a local resident who described being chased by a terrifying beast whilst driving through Cannock Chase at 2 a.m. in the morning. She said this thing was the shape of a human but stood about 7 to 8 foot tall, and as soon as it realized that we'd seen it, it stood up straight and ran towards us. This thing was definitely not human. It was huge. It just was so tall and broad and stocky. She said, "I didn't know whether it was flying or jumping. It was coming at her that fast." But these stories apparently go back to the late 19th century, and Nick Redfern, who's the expert in this field, actually grew up in Staffordshire, and he actually insists that the Cannock Bigfoot is actually real, and not just a flesh and blood animal. He actually thinks it's got paranormal origins linked to the amount of paranormal activity actually in the area. He said if this creature was flesh and blood, then there would have been more than just one to ensure reproduction, unless it's a very lonely Bigfoot, of course. And he said if there's a whole colony of them on the chase, then they'd have actually seen evidence of them feeding on local animal population, like the local deer. And those killings haven't just been anywhere near enough to feed a colony of these creatures. But he says, I mean, no doubt that these reports that people have made are genuine, and he's spoken to a number of witnesses himself, and he's absolutely convinced of their honesty on that one.
Well, that's great. Boy, it's nice to hear that you guys at least have some cross-cultural cryptozoological beasts with us as well. Let's take our last break of this hour, though. We'll come back. We'll wrap up with news. You're listening to Darkness Radio. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. We're sitting here with our international news correspondent, sitting in this bed all comfy and cozy in London, England, 4 o'clock in the morning. Adrian, we're just talking about Bigfoot. You know, that's an interesting thing that I'd like you to look into, because we're trying to put together a paranormal event that we're going to bring out to your neck of the woods. We'd like to do some ghost hunting, but if it's close enough to the areas, we'd like to maybe we can swing it into a Bigfoot hunt one night as well.
We can certainly do that, yeah. I mean, the area that I'm discussing with you is Cannockshire, and that's in the Midlands, so fairly close to Birmingham. So you're looking at maybe 3.5 hours to 4 hours drive from London there, so it's not a million miles away.
Well, and like I said, it might be something interesting to check into for a night or two. Now, where are we off to next with your news stories?
Well, I was just thinking, actually, that I'll be stuffed one day. You know, I'll be sat here in bed, and the batteries on my flashlight will go, and then we'll have to talk about the weather for half an hour. You realize that? I better go and buy some spares for next week. What I want to do is I want to carry on talking about the Bigfoot, because there's been lots of follow-up stories to the one I mentioned before the break here. It says, this was reported in the local papers this week. It said, police chiefs have hit out at the dangers posed by spoof Bigfoot. This is a craze after a teenager almost lost her baby when a joker clad in a gorilla suit actually jumped out in front of a car in this particular area. And the concerns have been echoed by a leading councillor and conservationists who fears that irresponsible idiots are causing harm to wildlife as well as people. These warnings come as the growing army of Cannock people take to the chase, often dressed in monkey suits. They've been tempted by the rewards of a free meal for anyone who captures on film the elusive Bigfoot rumoured to frequent the most secluded areas of the forest there. But this bizarre incident left this 8-month pregnant teenager, who doesn't wish to be named, fearing that she would lose her baby due to the hysterical state the monster left her in. She said she screamed so loud and she's still recovering from the ordeal. She said it was a real scare, it left me in tears, and the trauma of it could have really harmed my unborn baby. She said the incident took place around 11 o'clock in a deserted, dimly lit woodland road in Brockton. And she said as the 19-year-old girl drove in the family car after going out for a meal, they were driving along in the dark there, and she said just then, out of nowhere, this person dressed in a gorilla suit jumped out in front of the car, flailing his arms like mad, and then started running at the car, she said, and it was terrifying. She said, looking back now, it was obviously a fake suit, but late at night, in the isolated area, she said, it was a very scary experience. And she said if someone had had a heart condition, you know, they would have had a heart attack. She's got all these idiots now running around in gorilla suits on the chase late at night looking for a reward if people take photographs of them. The girl's father was actually furious, the guy driving the car, and he'd reported this incident to the police and said if I'd have caught the idiots, I'd have given them a real pasting. But, I mean, can you imagine seeing that and being the next car that pulls up and you turn around and say, look, is that an angry man over there beating a Bigfoot with a car jack in the middle of the road? You know, drive on, darling, drive on, don't stop, don't get involved. I mean, but secondly, would you run around in a big hairy monkey suit late on a Friday night knowing there's a lone Bigfoot roaming around that hasn't had amorous relations all its life? I mean, you'd have trouble fighting that off, wouldn't you, if you took a shine to you?
Well,
you know, you'd be like, get off.
Maybe that was his whole idea. You know, have you heard of these things called furries?
I haven't. You're going to have to make, is this some sort of cultural difference we're going to be discussing?
It is a very strange deal. And this is, this is a true deal. You can look it up. I think they're called furries. And what they are people that dress up in animal costumes and will actually have relations with one another dressed in these animal costumes. That it's a strange cultural phenomena, but it's true. They don't know, and you don't know if it's a male or woman in the other costumes. You don't know what's going on, but it's just, you don't ever remove the head of the costume or the rest of it, but they will have relations with each other. It's a strange thing.
Can I just state on air in front of the whole of America and anyone globally who's listening, I'm actually pleased. I haven't previously been aware of this. This is obviously an area that you have more knowledge on than me. So
yeah, sadly I do. But now that very well, maybe this is one of those furry guys that are out in England. Maybe it is spreading there, and he was looking for a little Bigfoot and loving.
I can't deny there's a lot of strange things going on in woods around Britain on a Friday night, but that's certainly not one I've seen. There might be a run on animal costumes. Can you imagine you're the last one in the shop and all they've got is Mother Goose or something? That'd be unfortunate, wouldn't it?
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
There's been some very strange animal attacks this week further north as well, actually. There's a beast that's roaming around that's meant to be a giant cat, and it's actually killed 12 lambs this week, and it's actually bitten their heads off, unfortunately.
Yikes.
There was a farmer involved called Richard Wade, and he'd lost the lambs at Primrose Side Farm near Durham City. And he said, this is a really serious problem. He keeps finding bodies everywhere, and they've got their heads missing. So the local police sergeant, a guy called Eddie Bell of the Durham Constabulary, and he's also the wildlife liaison officer, said he believes the culprit could actually be a big cat, and he believes that the predator is probably not indigenous to the UK. So we're probably looking at someone who's released a panther there, I suspect, or some such animal, unless it's a guy in a costume who's obviously very hungry and there's nothing open.
Well, why is he only eating the heads, too? That's what I don't understand. You would think the meat of the animal is the rest of the animal. Why would it only destroy the head?
In my very narrow experience of all things mammal, I get the impression that they would kill one to eat it. And then certainly things like foxes would just keep on killing just because it's in their blood and it's kind of a frenzied attack, I suspect. You know, when a fox gets into a chicken run, you know, it kills the first one and then it just demolishes everything else and doesn't touch them. So as a kind of a response to that, I suspect that that might be the case with that one.
Interesting. All right, well, we got about 3 minutes left. Where are we off to next?
Well, I can certainly do 3 minutes for you. While I was researching that story, I came across a very intriguing article here that I'd like to read to you. It says, can a head live without a body? And it says, the answer is yes, but only for a short while. Scientists say that the brain continues to function for about 2 minutes, actually, after the heart has stopped. However, it was widely reported in the media that a Soviet scientist in the late 1920s by the name of Sergei Bruckenhagen Co., that's not easy to say.
Actually, not easy to listen to.
Yeah, well, bless you. He actually managed to keep the severed head of a dog alive, believe it or not. And this dog's head was reportedly connected to a primitive heart and lung machine, which he called an autojector. And this device actually did everything the head needed to maintain its life. And he presented this in an experiment in 1928, an international scientific conference at the Third Congress of Physiologists in the old USSR. And, however, this experiment has actually been questioned. There's actually a video of this as well. If you go onto YouTube, you'll actually find this video from the 1920s. And it shows him doing a series of tests on the dog where he shines a light in its eyes and makes it blink. And then he hits the hammer with the dog's head. Hits the hammer next to the dog's head, and he actually reacts to the noise of that. But there is some controversy about this experiment, and scientists are divided. For those who accept that there's a medical possibility that you could keep a head alive, and there's others that suggest that the film might be just propaganda from the Soviet Union, and this dog was actually drugged, and they cut a hole in the table and poked its head through and dressed it up and done it that way. But, I mean, this is the ideal pet, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't need feeding. You don't need to take it for a walk. It doesn't wee on your furniture. And then you could leave this severed dog's head next to your children's bedside table to keep an eye on them at night. I mean, yeah. There's everything there all at once.
Don't give Coleco or any of these Hasbro toy makers any other ideas, Adrian. We're gonna have to patent this and come out with it. Now, there is video footage, you said, on YouTube. We'll get that link up and have it on your news section so that way people can actually see the video feed that you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a very strange experiment. And while I was looking at that, there was also a woman I saw in Massachusetts who's actually just been jailed for having 60 dead cats in her house in freezers, believe it or not. And I know I'm...
John Daly here.
You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.